Canadian snowbirds come home or risk getting stuck abroad as borders continue to tighten and flights become limited. This situation has become even more dire with a number of medical insurance providers saying coverage for clients will end on March 23rd. That's 10 days after Ottawa issued its non-essential travel advisory. 71-year-old Lillian Rabchek is currently in Rotunda, West Florida, with her husband, an 85-year-old stroke survivor. She's worried about what coming home might look like. Take a listen.
Well, Toronto and the airport are cesspools of viruses. So I have kept him strong and healthy for 7 years of full-time caregiving. And I do not want to expose him to all those viruses at this time.
Perhaps you yourself are trying to convince an elderly parent or relative to come back home during this health crisis, but are being met with similar resistance. Well, Dr. Samir Sinai is the director of geriatrics at Sinai Health System and the University Health Network. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ismail.
So why do you think some seniors are not heeding warnings about coming home?
Well, in Lillian's case, it's not that she's not heeding warnings. I think she's just struggling here, and I think this is the reality that so many older adults out there are also caregivers for other loved ones. And she obviously, it's not that she's saying I don't care, I think this is overblown. She's saying I want to keep my partner safe, and I feel that by the journey bringing him home will actually expose him versus actually staying put where they are. I think the challenge for Lillian, though, is that their insurance that's covering them there for medical care is going to run out in a few days because this is now a known issue. And if she doesn't come home and they end up in hospital, and my concern is the U.S. is in a far worse situation than Canada is, they're going to be in real trouble. And actually, I don't think really the issue is that the airports are that clean. I think the bigger risk factor that Lillian and her husband could face is if they end up in hospital there, they might not get a ventilator.
Now, it's not just snowbirds. We've heard stories of seniors who are resisting measures like social distancing. We've heard also from some who are just deciding not for any medical reason. We're fine here, so we don't need to come back. Why is that?
Well, I think, again, I think there's just so much information out there. And I think a lot of people, first of all, I have both sets of seniors. I have one set that are basically barricading them in their places, saying, this is going to kill me, and I don't want anybody to come visit whatsoever. And at the other extreme, you have people who say, well, we go through pandemics every year with the annual influenza piece, and we survived SARS, we survived H1N1. So really, is this that big a deal? So I think you've got two extremes here, and I think it's really important that people have the facts and the information in front of them to appreciate that this is a virus that actually has a 20-fold kill rate compared to influenza right now. So it's a lot more deadly. It's not as deadly as SARS, but at the same time, that people need to be taking this seriously and that all of us need to be practicing social distancing and doing the right things if we're going to get through this together with the least number of casualties.
Now, this isn't just seniors who are resisting some of these measures, is it?
No, the thing is, you've got young people, right, who were just, in this past weekend, partying because they were saying, look, I know that if I'm a 80-year-old senior, that my death rate from this, if I get COVID, is actually 15%, whereas for young people, it's about 1%. So that's where a lot of young people are saying, well, it doesn't matter if I get it, I'm not going to die. And so even people, kind of saying, why should I even care? But what we're trying to remind everybody is that young people can be carriers of this to their older friends and family. And this is again why we talk about how all of us need to be doing the social distancing, making sure that we're not, if we're sick, we're not contacting others, and that we're also washing our hands, because all of this, everybody doing these things together makes sense. And this is the challenge, is that some people aren't taking this seriously and some people are at the other extreme where they're panicking and they're overreacting.
I wonder how you would handle that conversation, though. Let's say with a parent who is in a place like Florida or in California right now and is resisting returning to Canada. And if it's not for medical reasons, like we heard from Ms. Rabchek there, if it's just because they feel fine where they are, how do you approach that conversation with them?
Well, I think this is the thing, right? You know, for example, when we're talking about talking to our parents, like, we've been used to being parented for so long that many of us aren't used to being parents to those who've parented us. So this is a matter of, you know, trying to have a conversation where you're focusing on the key goals. What, you know, what is Lillian most concerned about? She's concerned about the health of her loved one, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where we have to start. And we have to start just laying out the facts and saying, you know what, actually, you know, here's the facts about air travel. Air travel is actually not as bad as you think it would be. You know, the air on the flights is actually relatively clean. And there's good articles on how to actually travel safely right now. But the facts as well are that if the insurance runs out, you know, mom and dad gets sick or you get sick and you end up there, can you afford to get sick? And number two, it looks like it's going to be a lot worse than it is here. So I think if we presented those sorts of facts together, I think that's how you can change the thing. But being irrational and saying, mom, you're being stupid and you need to come home right now, that, you know, it didn't work well for us, yeah. You know, when they tried to use that reasoning,
right.
It ain't going to work well for them.
Before I let you go here, how can we support our parents and grandparents through this time?
I think making sure, just asking them what they need, right, and trying to understand where they're at, and making sure that if you have parents or grandparents who need to be, you know, socially isolated at the moment because they've just come back from a trip, how can you engage with them? How can you make sure you can support them? Like, can you get their groceries? Can you check on daily with the phone? You know, what about using, you know, FaceTime or Skype and stuff so that they can feel connected and they can feel supported? I think understanding what matters to them is how we'll help get them through this as well.
Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Dr. Samir Sinha is the Director of Geriatrics at Sinai Health System and the University Health Network.